Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the How to Become an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. I wanted to extend a personal invitation. If you had questions about coming to our How to Charge Live event in April of 2025, that you would go to howtocharge.live.com. That's howtocharge.live.com. Click on a button there that says schedule the call. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about coming to our event in April. It will sell out, but if you have questions, I want to answer them as quickly as possible so you can get your seat to that event. I look forward to seeing you here with us in April. And now, enjoy today's episode.
Ben, thanks for being on the podcast. This is Becoming an Elite Advisor podcast. You were speaking to the financial industry, a bunch of financial advisors. Really, all of us are entrepreneurs. And all the books you've written, your reputation precedes you. We're going to get into AI, which is a really cool topic in our business. I think a lot of fear around it, some excitement, but most people a little nervous. But I would love for you to give a kind of a brief background before we dive in, because you've done a lot of impressive stuff.
Yeah, thank you. It's awesome to be here with you. Yeah, I'm originally from Australia, as people will be trying to work out from the accent. But I've spent the last 20 years educating entrepreneurs in the intersection, really, of biology, psychology, and technology. And I think I was in my early 20s. I was 23 when I first got started, but I set up a B2B networking group in Melbourne, Australia, where I'd do precisely what you're doing here, but do it on stage, interviewing experts and millionaires, people in the tech space, on all of the recent changes to keep entrepreneurs up to date. And over the past few years, I've kind of evolved over time, investigated the biohacking space in 2018, and really looked at how we can pull in technology to help entrepreneurs optimize themselves for health, but also give, I guess, a deeper understanding of what it takes to really become a peak performer by really taking care of our mental health and looking at what are the latest strategies that we can employ today. But it was, yeah, it was at the start of last year, much like everyone else in the space, when we saw AI popping up all over the news. That's when I became excited and also nervous, because it's both a problem and a possibility. And I've been producing weekly videos for entrepreneur.com, which is part of Entrepreneur Magazine Online, for almost 9 years.
Nice.
And in January last year, I produced a video called The Dark Side of ChatGPT, where I made 7 specific predictions, all of which have come true. Nice. Many of which I was criticized for, saying I was being hyperbolic at the time. But that video blew up to over 3 million views, and I'd already signed a book contract with them to write a book on superhuman focus. And I was up until 2 a.m. one morning, thought to myself, I got to change this. We need to be covering artificial intelligence.
Wow.
Because I don't think entrepreneurs fully grasp why it's going to change the economy in the way that it is. And they're being sold cruel optimism, and it's not helpful to adapting.
That's fair. Okay. No, I would love to jump into that. Especially, we'll go a few layers deep. I'm not going to hold you to any predictions, but it's kind of how do we think it'll kind of trickle down to when it comes to a very people focused business, when it comes to financial advice. You know, there's people that are do it yourselfers, but we also see a lot of data around, like, people prefer to be with another person to some extent. But when it comes to the opportunity, I'm guessing there's also, you know, an advisor can run their practice more efficiently. Like, if you can sit in the tension and wait it out, there's probably a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, I think to really help people understand why it's reshaping the economy is we need to look at how it's democratizing information. And if you think of financial advisors, your value is derived from your knowledge and expertise. Then all of a sudden, this thing comes along, trains itself on all of the information in the World Wide Web, and suddenly can surpass some of the knowledge and expertise that you already have. And look, I think we will see a trend towards consumers wanting to use AI more themselves versus a financial advisor. But I think we're going to enter a stage of finding out and effing around effectively.
Yeah, I bet.
And I think that's coming a lot sooner than what people kind of realize at this point in time. But I mean, looking at the financial sector, and for my book, The Wolf is at the Door, which I covered this as one of the threats, is one of the concerns that comes from the SEC is that these black box AI algorithms, and just to explain what a black box algorithm is, it is effectively an algorithm that not even the designers and developers of it fully understand how it works. And that's why when we jump onto ChatGPT or whatever AI tool, it still doesn't work perfectly like we would expect from any expert or any other software platform that we've used for years. And the concern from the SEC is that these algorithms could prefer companies, individual kind of benefits versus investors, and even result in a huge market sell-off, resulting in a crash. Wow. And I think the Treasury Department actually sent out a letter, I think it was just last week, asking AI companies to provide more information around the threats to the financial sector. I do think it's going to move in cycles. Right now, we're very much in the hype cycle. Everyone wants to use it. But I think the more people use it, the more they realize that it is error ridden. Yeah. And I'm not saying not to use it.
Yeah.
But if you don't understand that it produces error and it has a very high rate of plagiarism, then as a financial advisor, you also set yourself up for failure.
I wonder how you position yourself to where you don't come across as an extremely late adopter or a naysayer.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing it in your language, which I appreciate, is like, but I'm also not ignorant to this like awkward draft stage we're going into, you know, draft on ice skates of trying to figure out these tools.
I think, you know, very early on at the start of last year when I was doing interviews with technology experts, they were almost positioning anyone that asked any questions about artificial intelligence as doomers, which isn't the case.
Yeah.
And I think as we move into the future, everyone should be asking these kind of questions because we're now becoming so dependent on these systems. Yeah. I mean, it was only 2 weeks ago ChatGPT went down and tens of thousands were on Twitter complaining that they couldn't do their work all of a sudden. And an article popped up saying millions forced to use their brains as ChatGPT goes down. And one of the greatest, I think, skills of the 21st century is not just focus, which we can talk about later on, but it's critical thinking. And a study came out, I think it was June of last year, where they looked at how students were interacting with artificial intelligence. And they found that the skill of critical thinking dropped by around, I believe it was 20%+, about 25%, it dropped.
Wow.
Now, critical thinking is a key skill that each of us need in this world to adapt to artificial intelligence. And I say to people, it is okay to fluctuate between, oh my God, this is going to end the world, to, oh my God, this can do my job so much faster, to, oh my God, what is my purpose if AI can replace me?
Yeah.
They are valid emotions. And in The Wolf is at the Door, there's a subtext to this book, which is actually the human grieving process. So in the first chapter, it's all about denial. So getting all of these shocking news stories and updates and developments out of the way first, so you can psychologically prepare for what comes next, but also upgrading your mental framework of the world. And I would say to financial advisors is, assume vulnerability. Assume vulnerability. Everyone should be assuming vulnerability in this space.
Yeah.
Because if you assume that you're not going to get replaced, then you're already taken out of the equation.
Yeah.
But if you assume vulnerability, then you look at this from a different perspective and start asking questions such as, what are the developments in the financial sector that could potentially replace aspects of my role, but maybe not everything?
Yeah.
The other component of that is really understanding what are the issues with artificial intelligence that makes my clients nervous, that maybe that could be my unique selling point moving forward.
I love that. I think the way you position it, we talk a lot about in our lead advisor network, communication is key. You set great expectation. That avoids a lot of confusion. A confused mind says no. Like all these just communication strategies. But I think if we even kind of zoom out, and we can all agree this is coming, so don't ignore it. It's here. It will get much better than you at certain things. If it's not now, at some point. And so it's what is your business plan to communicate it, somewhat adopt it. But I do think it's okay to be vulnerable with clients and be like, hey, we're also nervous. We're watching it closely. This won't replace everything overnight. That almost we're in the business of encouragement, accountability, and that'll never go away.
Yeah, 100%. I think one of the biggest things I think for the financial sector is transparency. Being transparent with your clients to say, all right, we've spent time investigating this. Here's where we still see potential issues and risks. And I would, part of my past life was doing publicity communications for companies.
Okay.
So one thing that I would recommend is before you jump on board and say, hey, we're using artificial intelligence to speed up things, take a litmus test of your existing customers to see where they're actually at, because it would be my intuition right now saying that they're more likely more nervous about it than wanting to jump on board to assist, for AI to assist. But in terms of an overall communication strategy, look at what the SEC is concerned about. Update your clients that, okay, these are the concerns the SEC has, which is that there could be bias towards companies in stock portfolios or whatever it might be. Here's what we're keeping an eye on as your expert advisor. So it's a slight repositioning of yourself to really let your clients know that, hey, we've got your back. We're keeping an eye on it. But the worst thing that someone could do in this space is to not bring it up to their clients whatsoever.
Yeah,
that's the worst strategy that you could employ right now.
That's great. Yeah. So practically, for everybody listening, what I'm hearing, and I'm going to do with my team soon, is come up with some type of short, sweet, direct, hey, it's on our radar. Here's what we're looking at. We're not adopting it overnight, but just kind of some type of communication so it doesn't feel like you're ignoring it. Or in lack of communication, there's usually confusion. So how do we get ahead of that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just looking at it today, I think this news, it was just June 17. So the Treasury issues request for information on use of AI in financial services. If people look that up, that might be a particular article that people could use to actually send out to their clients to let them know, hey, we have your back in this and we're keeping an eye on it. But to absolutely ignore it is not the best strategy by any means. And, I do want to say to people is that I know everyone's telling us not to fear AI, but fear is a powerful thing. And I think having worked in the personal development space for 20 years, writing on the topic of artificial intelligence has changed my perspective on fear. I actually think it's really useful at this moment in time because these changes are occurring at a rate that we've never encountered before. And if we look at the Industrial Revolution, that was largely confined to the UK for a 70-year period, 70 years, where they actively prohibited the export of skilled workers and machinery out of the country so they could gain a competitive advantage. If we look at what's occurred in the last year and a half, even digital freelancers, demand for them has dropped by 21% in the last year and a half due to artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And, it is okay to be fearful in this. And one of the most important things for adapting to this is understanding our own emotional response to it.
Yeah.
And it's not to remain in a state of fear, but to use that fear to fuel you in the next transition that you need to make in your career.
Yeah, that's wise. Yeah, the I do tend when I'm speaking to groups and we coach a lot of advisors, and this is something I've learned about myself too, is the awareness that like we all are impacted in some degree by fear. Those of us that can be really aware of when it happens and kind of sit in it, I think that becomes a superpower. And then for most of us, you know, our body just tries to override it and kind of hide and hold to what we know is true. So when it comes to that layer, that feels like that's was in your wheelhouse right before you went down the AI trail. The Unstoppable book, great book, great message. Could you speak to that a little bit? The practicality of AI and kind of, I love that.
Yeah.
We should all dive into that. But what's the layer behind it to where you're saying people are probably going to handle it this way for these reasons?
Yeah, well, I originally grew up on a cattle farm in South Australia. So I'm a farm boy at heart. It was a 5,000 acre property, massive property. But our parents never sold us on cruel optimism. It was, we were exposed to harsh realities from a very young age, especially growing up on a cattle farm.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we went through, I think it was a 7-year drought where our family farm didn't have any income.
Goodness.
And the wolf at the door at that time was representative of the bank manager. Oh. And that phrase in particular is thought to have come from the Great Depression from New York City, where hundreds of thousands found themselves out of work. And we're kind of faced in that same scenario. But you know, the subtext of adapting to this is going through that emotional process of, it is very much a loss of normalcy that we're facing. And I think the pandemic was a litmus test for how people are going to respond next. Mm. Unfortunately, I do think there's a lot of unresolved trauma from the pandemic that we're now encountering this other significant change that people aren't necessarily ready for. And why I decided to put the grieving process as a subtext for this book is the grieving process really follows closely our response to AI, which is denial, shock, fear, potentially depression, especially when you realize how much it can do and what it can replace.
Yeah.
To eventually getting to this position of hope. Mm. And it's interesting. This was one of the hardest books I've ever written. This is my 8th book. Wow. I think I got to chapter 2 and I said to a friend that I don't want to write on this anymore. It's too intense.
I bet.
But it was to getting to the point of hope is that we have this window of opportunity to advocate for regulation.
Mm.
And I know many have said in the past year and a half that regulation will stifle innovation. And taking a look back at it, when Microsoft were dominating in the 90s, they faced huge regulation. And PwC, a consulting group, did research on this, and they actually found that the regulation didn't only end up benefiting the company, it benefited the consumer. And it also paved the way for Google, Facebook, all of these other large companies to come through. And regulation certainly hasn't caught up by any means.
Yeah.
We don't currently have a regulatory body. I believe anyway, you may know more than me in the financial sector, specifically for AI, which is why the SEC is trying to jump in this as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And the thing about regulation is it legitimizes industries. We wouldn't go to a neurosurgeon that wasn't regulated, right?
Okay.
you wouldn't.
Yeah.
So the question is, why would we put AI into the financial sector when it hallucinates and it makes things up?
Yeah.
Or even in healthcare and warfare.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that there aren't huge benefits, and there are huge benefits. It's this double-edged sword that I think we each need a shot of realism to go, all right, it's going to be able to do these amazing things, but how do we get there safely?
Yeah.
Or as safely as possible. And I think for each of us, we need to take a step back and ask ourselves, has my skill set expired?
Well,
that's a really tough question to answer.
Yeah,
sorry. And as an author, that was what I was faced with at the start of last year, writing this book. I mean, I write a new book on average every 3 years as part of my personal evolution to upskill.
Yeah.
And that was one thing that I was personally faced with too, to say, okay, as an author, has my expiry date passed already? But the thing is, any product or service that's ever been created is based on a problem. By asking these questions, you uncover problems, not just for yourself, to help you be able to better understand in the areas that you need to upskill. You also identify the problems that your customers face by using AI themselves. And at this point in time, I wouldn't trust AI to do any banking or stock market analysis, knowing what I know.
Got it. And you know more than most. And that's your feeling at this point, especially you as a consumer. If you were saying, I have an advisor and they came to me with, hey, we're fully adopting this tomorrow, here's where we're going. Of all the things you've researched, you would have more skepticism than excitement.
100%.
Got it.
And skepticism is healthy. And if I was a financial advisor, which I'm not, but if I was, I would be taking the time out to write a report on my concerns of artificial intelligence, but I would try and make that report as balanced as possible. Because you don't want to come off as saying that AI is all doom and gloom.
Yeah.
And we just shouldn't use it, because I think that is also harmful.
Yeah.
But looking at it, going, okay, here's where we can use it, here's where it's been proven, here's where it hasn't been proven, and here are the concerns in the financial sector. Providing that balance, I think it puts you in a position of credibility, especially with the consumer, to say that, oh, they're just never going to touch this thing.
Yeah. I think the good news, and this is similar, I mean, your business entrepreneurial coaching world, like, that's never going away. Like, there's forever going to be business. There's going to be forever entrepreneurs that need encouragement. There will always be people willing to pay for financial guidance and advice. So I think, you know, everybody listening, take hope in that. I think the challenge comes from, are you going to be able to continue to adapt to what that looks like to deliver it? And what we're seeing now finally is the financial business went from pretty transactional. Like, most advisors only got paid if they sold something to somebody. That bred training in sales more so than trails and training in like advice. Like, do you just have more value to bring, or are you just better at convincing people to buy something? Or now we're seeing this shift of, you know, financial advice. People can actually pay for your time and ideas versus just your product. And that's slow to come. You know, people are fighting. It's like, can I just do the way I used to do and make as much money as I did without as much effort?
Yeah.
But I think the financial planning position is like a financial coach, encourager, strategist, in my opinion, is going to hold up much better in this next season than if you were strictly a salesperson. Because you can easily get removed direct-to-consumer stuff. I mean, that can be done much easier.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's for people in the financial sector to upskill on artificial intelligence, understand its in and outs. I mean, we also know it hallucinates, so it combines fact with fiction, but it shares it with authority.
Yeah.
Many consumers still don't understand that.
Yeah.
And even model, I think ChatGPT 3.5, there was one study done by CopyLeaks, and it found that over 60% of the outputs were plagiarized.
Okay.
Now, you know, that's where you're going to get into the legal realm of things, where, you know, people set themselves up for potential lawsuits. So as, you know, financial advisors, if you are going to use AI to help produce articles, for example, that's something that you need to be aware of, that there is bias in these systems innately built in. And what we're finding in the last year is that as they try to fix these hallucinations and any bias in the system, it creates a whole load of other issues.
Yeah.
And that's why that this is going to be a constantly evolving subject in the coming years. And people really need to prepare themselves, because, you know, I gravitated towards the title, The Wolf is at the Door, because it feels imminent.
Yeah. I like that.
it's right here. It's right now. You know, so it's, you know, knocking at the door, but in reality, at this point, it's already in the house trying to rummage through our wallets. And I think, you know, it is hard to not feel despondent about certain developments in this, but recognize that that's absolutely okay. But to do the research to fully understand how it's being used in the financial sector, that is going to be your best competitive edge moving forward.
Yeah. Which I'm hearing, I mean, I've seen this a lot. You could read, you know, for everybody listening, order, you know, Wolf Is at the Door. You read that, you know more than most people in the world. You read one or two more books after that. Like you, I think you know enough to share your curiosity, hopefully probably not to speak as an authority on it, because maybe none of us are there fully.
No, none of us are.
on this topic. But I'm hearing educate yourself, embrace it to some degree, even to the point where my mind's already moving to what's our communication strategy on it for maybe in the next 12 months. At least once a month, we're saying we're on it, we're watching it, here's what's happening. Because I think clients will appreciate some level of communication, even if it's not, hey, we're reading the crystal ball and here we're going kind of wild, because you may find from surveying your clients that actually does more harm than good. But don't ignore it is really what I'm hearing you say. It's happening.
Yeah. And there's actually, I write about it's a creative process written by a man called Graham Wallace. And this creative process was defined in the 1920s, 2 years before the Great Depression. And he outlines as four phases. The first phase is preparation. So preparation, reading as much as you can about artificial intelligence in your specific industry. Get industry specific so you over time develop some sort of authority to be able to speak on this with your clients. The second phase is incubation. Now, incubation is a phase that everyone hates. That's where we have to take time out, practice patience. And just an interesting little story that I uncovered from the Great Depression was that, have you ever been to New York?
Yep.
Yep. So I've been to the New York Public Library.
I've not.
Okay. So if you've ever seen the Ghostbusters movie, the New York Public Library features in the first scene, and in the latest movie,
a lion.
Notice the lions. Yes. Now the lions in the 1920s were renamed by Mayor LaGuardia as Patience and Fortitude. Unfortunately, in the new Ghostbusters, Fortitude gets shot in the face. But the reason that he renamed them is because he felt that they were the values that New Yorkers needed at that point in time to get through the Great Depression.
Wow.
And patience is often really misunderstood. Most people interpret it as sitting there and doing nothing. It's not. It's allowing your brain to form the connections it needs to make to be able to work out what are the next steps that you need to take.
Wow.
And incubation is allowing yourself to make those connections without trying to force them. And, you know, I felt this when I was writing the book. Sometimes I couldn't clearly articulate the problem because the problem hadn't been articulated before.
Got it. Yeah.
And there was one week I felt like, you know, I just wanted to jump out of my skin. So I checked into a hotel for 3 to 4 days to go, all right, I just got to incubate on this. Mm. And then finally the solution, you know, offered itself. Mm. But in the four phases, it's preparation, incubation, and incubation doesn't end until the third phase, which is illumination. That's the aha moment. I can see what I have to do. I know how I need to pivot at this point in time. Now I can actively pursue that.
Mm.
Followed by illumination, we have verification, which is verifying any facts about a theory that you may have. It could also be discussing these issues with your clients to verify how they're interpreting artificial intelligence being embedded into the financial sector.
Mm-hmm.
And really solidifying that approach and doing further research on it. But one thing to be aware of is, you know, the first rule that I outline in the book of 10 is expect the unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Because if anyone tells you to do, if anyone says to you that your strategy needs to be this within the next 5 years, tell them that they're most likely going to be wrong.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, writing the book, I mean, I made predictions when I was writing the first chapter in January of last year that only to find out 2 to 3 weeks later it had already become true. And all of a sudden I'm having to write about it in past tense.
Wow.
So that's the verification part of this process. And we are drinking information through a fire hose. And the other thing it's really important for financial advisors to understand is that the lifespan of information has just shrunk.
Hmm.
The lifespan of any information in this world, whether it be the health and fitness industry, it's shrunk. So by the time that you may be sharing with your client something that's happened, it may have already been surpassed by the time you share that information to them.
Yeah.
And I would set up, whether it be Google Alerts, to get a daily email notification in your inbox every single morning that you read to see what's actually unfolding. Mm. So you're up to date. This is simply part of a new world that we have to accept that you don't just go to school for 3 to 4 years and you're done.
No.
Now we're constantly in school every single day because of the rapid rate of change that we're experiencing.
Yeah. Yeah, the level of intentionality. And I find, I mean, life is busy. You know, all of us have, whether it's multiple jobs, families, kids, activities. And so I know for myself, the tension and at times of feeling like I'm not doing enough, like I could feel that every day. Not, I don't want to live in that space. But I think there are ways of, you know, get in a community to where you're sharing knowledge, where that's more easily being given to you versus you having to feel like every one of us is just out there just mining for it manually.
Yeah.
Thank you for writing the book. I've written a couple and the fastest was 18 months. The current one is almost 2 years. And a book is amazing because for, I don't know, $25, $30, I get to go buy 2 years of your life in research. So it is a labor of love to write a book. So I would say practically speaking, get Ben's book, dive into that. I'm going to start creating some pieces, for my clients. And if you're in our advisor community, I'll share those with you when we get our version done so you can get approved by your compliance too. Sit in, I think, all the things Ben's saying. This easily you could say, you know, the average approach is that was cool. I heard it and I'm going back to what I was doing before. My hope is people kind of sit in this and take something practical away. Don't become an AI expert overnight. That's daunting, but step into it and at least start learning.
Yeah, absolutely. Just visualize. One thing that I do for writing books is I visualize myself sitting down, writing, getting stuck into it. And then I do a mental rehearsal technique. And I would recommend that everyone do this with the AI revolution as well. Just sitting down, visualize yourself doing that initial research. Just visualize that aspect of it. Don't worry about how you're going to implement it yet. Just imagine the first step, and that's going to really free you to get unstuck to dive into what is a daunting subject without a question.
Yeah, that's powerful. Well, this is good news is this topic you are now learning a lot about and teaching on is not going away. So we'll need to have you back as it pertains to all of us as advisors and entrepreneurs. But for everybody listening, where can they find more about you? You've covered kind of multiple subjects over time. But if you were to say, hey, do this now, where can people go and get some more information?
Yep. Visit thewolfofai.co. So thewolfofai.co, or you can grab the book on Amazon. The Wolf is at the Door.
Perfect. And we'll make sure to link to that.
Awesome.
All right, my friend, this was great. Thank you.
My absolute pleasure.